Blog Talk Radio.
I have returned to the land of the living. I am a zombie. I am a zombie. I am a zombie.
So every dead body that is not exterminated becomes one of them. It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
When there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk here.
I am a zombie.
Welcome to the June 3rd edition of Rebel Guard Radio. I'm your host, KZ, Zombie Matt Manning. This episode of Rebel Guard is brought to you by our sponsors, WrestleWarehouse.com. You can get Lucha Libre masks, t-shirts, DVDs, a whole bunch of other stuff. Yep, definitely worth checking out. Tell Jeff that Zombie from Rebel Guard Radio sent you. Also, the other sponsor would be SlamBamJam.com for current and past Lucha Libre Japanese DVDs, really good best ofs, a bunch of different shit there. Tell Alfredo that Zombie sent you. And also, got to throw props out to the mothership, angrymarks.com, props to Stevie J and the rest of the boys, as well as lightsoutradio.com. Lights Out will be on the air tomorrow night, running down this weekend, Strike Force and WEC shows. So, wow. Episode number 110. I'd like to welcome to the show my co-host, Mr. Joshi Rob. Rob, hey, now that I've gotten you patched in, welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
Awesome. And our guest for the first hour is Pro Wrestling Torch contributor, Mr. Derek Bergen. Derek, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, KZ.
Awesome. Now that everything's all set up and we're ready to go, I was having problems patching you girls in. I guess that Blog Talk has a problem with homosexual males, so...
So they have problems with you, right?
Well, oh, you know it, baby. There's a reason I live outside San Francisco. Wow. Today is the 15th anniversary of the world-famous All-Japan Pro Wrestling match at Budokan Hall, Misawa against Kawada. It is June 3rd, 1994. So that's 15 years. Unbelievable. Now, Rob, do you think that that match still stands the test of time?
I'd say so. It's good wrestling is good wrestling, you know, whether it happened in 1930 or, 1990, it's still good wrestling. The first time I actually saw it, I didn't really get it, but after about two or three tries, I really got into it, and I ended up loving it. I think it's still good, and definitely a worthwhile watch if you guys haven't seen it yet.
How about you, Derek?
I'm not the biggest fan of Japanese wrestling, and I would never, or I shouldn't say never, but to me, a perfect pro wrestling match is everything, not just the two guys in the ring. I mean, it's the crowd atmosphere, it's the commentators, it's the camera work, it's the miscellaneous guys, the referee in the perfect, and because... it's had Japanese commentators. To me, in some ways, I don't want to say it's unwatchable because I've watched plenty of Puro stuff thanks to Keith Lipinski, but it does not have the resonance, I guess that's the word, that, say, a Taker versus Michaels from this year, WrestleMania. The goodwill I have with a lot of five-star, four-and-a-half-star American matches, because I've been watching these wrestlers. I mean, my exposure... The Noah brand or the Kenta stuff or Misawa, I mean, it's very limited. So I don't think I'm the best judge on that compared to people who see a lot more than me.
Now, I'm going through the daily update on the Observer site, and this is making me sick. Looks like the current plan for next week's ECW TV will be Tony Atlas against Evan Bourne. This makes me sick.
5-star match. Forget Masao Kawada, Tony Atlas, and Evan Bourne right there.
Fuck no. No way.
You know what? Tony's a really good guy, so I don't hate it as much, you know, to see him get some work. And, you know, it means Evan Bourne on TV if you got to make something good out of this, you know. He hasn't been appearing so much lately, so.
Yeah, it's hard to find a complaint that the advertisement for ECW is based on Evan Bourne and not some generic WWE guy we've seen 1,000 times versus another WWE guy we've seen 1,000 times. So, I mean, it's a good thing. It's not going to be a good match, but the fact that they have any faith in him whatsoever is a good sign for the future.
I'd like to welcome to the show the most hardcore Canadian motherfucker I know, Peter H. What's up, Pete?
Not much, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Not bad, brother. Just shooting the shit for the first hour.
There you go.
So, now tell me, Pete, do you think that Tony Atlas and Evan Bourne next week on ECW is going to bring 5 stars?
Oh, God, no. I saw the spoilers today, and I'm scratching my head about it.
No, I mean, we could always have Tony Atlas will take to the air and challenge Evan Bourne in the battle of the shooting star press, but... I don't think we're going to get that.
Now, for those that are, the three of you that are listening to the live stream, we'll be taking calls for the whole show. Area code 347-215-7946. Once again, 347-215-7946. Call in. Shoot the shit for the first hour. And before we go any further, I would like to announce the winner of the Rubber Guard Radio Independent Wrestler of the Week for the week of June 3rd. This will be SoCal Crazy from San Diego. SoCal has been tearing shit up for not just this year, but for years in the past. Also, my sponsor, Wrestle Warehouse, has just put out a new 2-disc Best of SoCal Crazy that you can get at WrestleWarehouse.com. I highly recommend it. The final match on the second disc is a cage match from February. It's amazing. It's a legitimate match of the year candidate for at least California. There's really good matches with Adam Pearce on there as well. Matches with Jason Redondo, a couple tag matches. It's really good stuff. Well worth checking out. Or you can wait for Mr. Derek Bergen to review it on the Torch, so you can get, you know, his seal of approval. And
on the brand new Torch Daily Blitz, today's guest was Mike Sempervivi. But KZ, I got a question for you. Do you have a second?
Awesome, go for it.
What is your thoughts of D Wolf coming in and stealing all your heat, you and Jeremy Warnick, who are probably tied for the board poster of the year? Here comes an epic 10-minute call from last Monday's Wrestling Observer Radio, and the resounding backlash from the board regulars almost make you seem like a babyface now.
Hey, he could have all the fucking heat, man. I don't want it. I don't want it. Whatever. You know what? That board can suck off. I'm done with it. I mean, I know who downloads my shows, okay? The IP addresses don't lie. I mean, I see quite a few of them from the United Kingdom and Ireland. So, you know, they could fucking lie all they want. They could, you know, say they don't download. But you know what? The hell with them. Now,
don't let a few bitches ruin the whole bit, you know?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I actually have a question for you, Mr. Bergen. I'm on the Torch website in the VIP section. And where can I find the Daily Blitz?
The Daily Blitz, you got to be on the main page or you go into the iTunes feed. You can subscribe to all the Torch audios to have them automatically go to your iPod that way. Otherwise, you go on the front page, and unfortunately, or I guess it's fortunately, if you're a rabid Torch reader, you know, every time a Daily Blitz or any audio goes up, it's usually swamped by about 10 to other 20 news links, so you might have to go to the audio section and download them individually that way.
Okay. So I have to go to the regular area.
Well, the PW Torch main page, just like you went to the main page of the Observer to get the day's, you know, headlines or whatever the link of the day.
Okay.
So.
Now, when Derek, when are you going to get your own Twitter?
I will never Twitter. I've made a vow to myself that will be the day I've basically given up on everything if I feel the need to Twitter about bowel movements or anything of innocuous nature of my life. So.
No Twittering for me, no Facebooking for me. I just do the MySpace gimmick, and that's enough for me. That's it.
Oh, man.
But I'd like to throw props out to Killer Kev in the chat room. But let's patch in another caller. 895. Is this Killer Kev?
This is Killer Kev. What's up?
Wasabi, Bobby.
Not much. I just wanted to... I'm just calling in to shoot the shit with you for the first hour like you told me to call in to do, so I'm here now.
Awesome. That means I can put down the phone and I could have Rob mediate.
You could do that. I did just want to say, I'm going to throw this out here real quick. Tune in to tomorrow night's AngryMarks.com Thursday night podcast because we are going to have two major announcements. This is going to affect the Angry Marks Podcast Network in a positive way. This is going to be a huge shakeup for things around here, and you are not going to want to miss that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have an idea what that is. I'm keeping my mouth is my I'm keeping it sealed close to my chest at the moment.
I think I know what it is too, but I don't know. I might be wrong.
I'm excited about it. My nipples are all hard and everything. England with excitement here.
Oh boy. Hey Derek.
Yeah.
I'm having problems navigating this Torch site. It's rather fucked up. So can you send me a direct download link to the show with Mike Sempervivi, please?
I will do.
Thank you.
And I love Killer Kev. I don't know what he does, but it reminds me. I went last weekend to see the movie Up, Disney's new biggest hit. And a key point of the movie is they set up this character as this Rottweiler dog, like the meanest dog in this movie. You expect to be badass, and then they have these little microchips in their collars that allows them to talk. And he comes in, he has like an Alvin and the Chipmunk voice, and every time Killer Kevin talks, it just reminds me of that that laugh out moment of Up.
Alrighty.
Can I put something out there? I'm just wondering, did anyone know where Teddy Hart is?
Where, who? I think he's not in Mexico.
Who?
Teddy Hart.
Not in Mexico.
Teddy Hart? He's in Mexico. AAA.
He's still in Mexico?
AAA. Yep.
Yeah, he just turned on Jack Evans, so they're starting a program.
Oh, wow.
He's still a wrestler?
Yes.
He's a full-time wrestler now.
You need to listen to last Thursday's Angry Marks podcast where I called in and gave a quick update of everything going on in AAA.
I'll have to listen to the show.
Yeah.
I must have missed that part.
they're building up for AAA, Triple Mania, a week from this Saturday.
It's going to be a very interesting show because you have Tony and his cousin from the building, Silver King, who just actually is able to wrestle on the show, Jack Evans, who's also suspended from the building. So it should be interesting for many different reasons. Might be worth a watch.
Zombie, did you listen to Bob Barnett on Alvarez's Figure Four Daily yesterday?
Yes, I did.
I would like to listen to an actual like hour show with him and Conan because you know Conan comes on the Figure Four Daily. And, I mean, he's a great guest, and he almost really makes you want to watch AAA. And then Bob Barnett comes on 2 weeks later and says AAA is the shit. It looks like shit on television. You know, it's just the crappiest booking. I would really like to see these two go at it. And honestly, I'd like to see the show for myself to see which one's telling the truth.
You got to go back. A couple years ago, someone did a radio show, and I think it was on Vampiro, and Conan... There you go, and Bob Barnett called, and it was an intense ten-minute fight, but it was that might be something you want to look for if you can find that.
It's in the radio section of Figure Four Online. It's a sticky in the radio section. I don't remember. I think it's the first year, if I remember right. It's a Conan show.
I think we need another one because since that point, Conan has been given a lot of power. Down in AAA, where I imagine back then he was, you know, a big star, but not, like, the main man. So I guess it's probably even intensified
now
that he has stroke.
No, I'm gonna call Sean Oliver when I'm done with this show. And we need to have Sean hook up a my side of the story with Conan and Vampiro.
Or a great debate.
That's money.
That is money. I totally agree.
Actually, you know what? I do have connections that are close to Mexico, so you know what? Fuck them. Maybe Wrestle Warehouse should do it.
See Conan on the show.
I've tried. It's really tough since, you know, Conan's pretty much, you know, the booker, and he's also working house shows too. So I mean, the only reason he was on Alvarez's show was because of the swine flu epidemic.
Yeah.
So.
We need to get Bob Barnett. Also, he needs to get in a room with Rob Feinstein and see if they can hash out their problem.
God.
I've been going on for five fucking years or longer. I should
longer.
Say longer than that. With 10 fucking years.
Oh, dude, I want to get those two cats on the show and just fucking let them go. I mean, you want to talk download numbers.
I'm trying. I'm actually, I think Bob Barnett's going to an out of state this weekend, but I'm trying to, I have him booked for a upcoming Daily Blitz, and we're going to talk about that Rob Feinstein perverted justice thing that he seems to really hang his hat on for the last couple of years. So I'm going to try to take the other side on that, and we'll have a nice discussion on it.
That's funny shit, man. I mean, I love Rob to death. You know, we're friends and all, but you know, it's still fucking hilarious, man. I mean, it is funny, and I still get a chuckle when I go to Bob's site and click on the YouTube link and watch it. It's still funny. You know, speaking of Feinstein, you know, Rob let me down. Rob let me down. I watched his Rob Feinstein Shoot Interview Volume 2, and it really let me down. He didn't really have much to say.
Yeah.
You know, with the exception of talking about the last days with Doug Gentry, which was very sad. You know, I actually teared up during that part because, you know, honestly, Doug was a very special person. He did a lot of the research for the Shoot interviews. He did help with the booking of ROH and other companies. And plus Doug always took my calls when it came to ordering, and he was always a good guy. You know, he always thanked me by name, and, you know, he was just a good dude. You know, genuinely good dude. You know, this is really sad, you know, that you know, the world lost Doug. He was just a good guy. Man. But, Mr. Bergen, are you allowed to let out the names of who's going to be on your Blitz?
Oh, coming up? I got Kid Zombies going to come on to talk about Michael Modest Shoot interview. I got Joey Eastman's going to be lined up. We're going to totally tool wrestling. I mean, I got a lot of Keith Flipinski's coming back on, a big crowd favorite. So we got a lot of interesting shows coming up in the next
now,
weeks.
Now, when you get Joey on, all right, you need to ask that motherfucker, when are we going to get Totally Tool 4? That shit was great. Twinkie the Kid, man. Yes. Twinkie the Kid. He's available.
Totally. For those who've never seen it, they need to head to smartmarkvideo.com. Check out Totally Tool, especially episode 1, where you had Uncle Chester the Molester as a main event character. Just him chasing around this kid at ringside is worth the price of the DVD. But you have a lot of great young indie stars mixed in with some actual funny comedy. And usually when you mix comedy and wrestling, it falls completely on its face, and in 90% of the times it's attempted. But this was a legit funny show that had some awesome moments.
This is different stuff than Kikataro and Kusembo came in. You know, in Osaka Pro, it's different than TDT with the blow-up. It's a completely different type of comedy. And it's just hilarious to see Chris Hero in the main event, the first show,
yep.
You know, working with these guys. Just, you know, Twinkie the Kid, which was Cole Cabana in a Twinkie costume. That's money. I mean, that's just money for me.
The character Mark Kayfabe, which is just this one wrestler. He was just ripping off the gimmicks of all these other famous wrestlers, and I just, you know, I went in expecting to be some low-rent indie thing that I just would think was horrible, and instead I couldn't believe how much I liked it, and then they came out with Totally Tool 2 and 3, and it's like, yes, you know, these guys, you know, are at least successful enough to continue it.
Well, they need to pick it back up and do it again. Never mind the fans. I mean, you know, fucking have in the crowd just the boys. You know, entertain the boys.
That's what I think TNA is just entertaining the boys right now, not too many of the fans, unfortunately.
No. TNA doesn't entertain anybody. So, let's see. Let me get off my sheet.
Better lately. You have to give him that. She's been better lately. That's the best.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
Would you like to chime in, Kev?
I don't have anything to contribute right now.
I don't blame you.
I'm just hanging on and waiting for some place to jump in.
Alrighty, have any of you guys been watching that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here that's doing their marathon 2 weeks?
No. Shit.
It has a wrestler on it. You got to support the wrestling industry by watching these shitty fucking reality shows.
She's not a wrestler. She's a fucking rat.
Who is this?
Tori Wilson, now available in the RF Shoot DVD with Tori Wilson, I think, was released about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a good one.
What does Tori talk about during a shoot interview? Because I'd have to know this one. Like, what could she possibly have to say?
Well, you know, how she got in the business. You know, she fucked someone and...
She's been in the locker rooms of some of the biggest companies in wrestling history, with the end of WCW and then on to WWE, while it's still enjoying the last of its mega success until today. So and she was a key figure in a women's division before it got totally watered down. So I mean, she has some interesting things to say.
Well, okay, how about the Deborah Marshall shoot interview? I have it. I've yet to watch it.
I haven't watched that yet either.
Wife, yeah. I don't know. Who wants to really hear about Steve Austin beating on his woman? I don't.
I'd rather hear a Steve McMichael shoot interview. He seems to be like, I bet he has a lot of fucking insane stories, and none of them true, but it'd be interesting to hear him say it.
You know, if they were to film that, he'd have to sit on a couch, because I don't think he would fit in one of the chairs.
Yeah, you'd have to get one of those widescreens, to get the full picture, too.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. RF would have to buy a new camera. But, film it in HD, widescreen, 16, whatever 9 it is, whatever. Oh, man, don't even ask me about cameras. I don't hold them. I just conduct the fucking interviews. I don't hold the camera.
Yeah, I'm the one who holds them, man.
Hey, I don't want to hear about what you're holding, pal. Speaking of holding, do you have anything to plug yet, Rob?
No, I have nothing to plug yet.
Okay. We gotta get you a woman, dude.
No.
Oh. It's the same running gag every fucking week, and it doesn't get old.
We'll get one. We'll figure out something one of these.
So, Kev, have you seen anything interesting outside of WWE and TNA recently?
I'm trying to think. I just watched the last episode of, or getting ready to watch the last episode of Deadliest Warrior.
What do you think of the show?
I like it for the most part. I mean, there's some questionable matchups. There's some endings that I myself just kind of doubt. But overall, quite an interesting show.
Well, it is what it is.
What is it on? I've never even heard of this show.
Deadliest Warrior, it's on Spike TV. They... run it several times a week because they're running a shit out of it. But basically, what they do is they match up various types of warriors and things like, for example, pirates versus ninjas. Or the final episode for this week is going to be the IRA versus the Taliban.
Yes.
Is it animated like that MTV Celebrity Deathmatch, or this is like people dressed up as shit?
This is real stuff. They bring in experts from various fields on various peoples, and they demonstrate some of the major weapons that they use. And then at the very end of the show, they take all the statistics from the tests that they run on the weapons and stuff, and they run like 1,000 simulated battles, and they tell you what the outcome was of which of the two were stronger. Like last week's episode was
Wallace against Kunta Kinte.
Last week's episode was the Green Berets versus the Russian version of like the Green Berets, and the Russians just barely won. They had a seven match advantage out of like 1,000 matches.
For anyone who's a G.I. Joe fan, I've seen G.I. Joe face off against their Soviet equivalent called the October Guard plenty of times, and the Joes always won. So those computers don't factor in the American heart, which always overcomes these Russians.
Okay, we have breaking news in from the figure4online.com message board from Mr. D. Wolf. He complained about, you know, the huge mega thread, 60 some odd pages about his little 10-minute rant on the Wrestling Observer radio show, and this is the first post in this new thread. D. Wolf says, "Brian, I ask you to do something about that fucking thread almost immediately, and you finally respond to me 2 days later saying it will only make things worse. I start kicking the piss out of all your loser borders, and you kill the thread? Fucked up. I'm back on strike." Last post. You know, I love this D. Wolf guy. He is deflecting all of the heat off of me.
Say that now, KZ.
Well, you know, we'll see if a thread pops up tomorrow. Because if a thread pops up, all those little fucking trolls will be outed for downloading my show.
I think D. Wolf and Jeremy Warnick need to team together for that the Team 3D challenge they had in TNA. Because those two are a pretty powerful combination when it comes to...
You know what? The hell with it.
I'll
team up with them and we'll go to the Chikara King of Trios.
Now that would be buys. Total fucking buys. Team Heat.
Team Heat. There you go. We would all wear heat masks. You know the Minoru guy from Japan? We'd wear the heat masks. There it is. That's money. That's money.
I got Quackenbush is another guy I've coming up for a daily blitz. So I'll make sure I mention that to him and see if we can get you guys booked.
Well, you mentioned Chikara. What's next for Chikara? What's their big deal next? Is it the Young Lions Cup?
I'm not sure actually what's next for Chikara. I think so. But
okay.
My first focus with Quackenbush is more going to be over one thing I love about that company. Is their DVD covers over the years. I think they've been
far and away
innovators on some cool shit, you know, compared to, say, Ring of Honor, which just puts out the most least thoughtful covers. You know, nobody would be buying these DVDs unless they knew they already wanted them. And Mike Quackenbush really seems to put some thought and creativity into the guys who are doing it for him which could really attract people.
I'll tell you, Chikara does rule as far as DVD covers, but my favorite DVD cover ever was Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Smells Like Steen Spirit, where they used the Nirvana cover, album cover. That was just the best.
Yeah.
From Nevermind, yeah, that was a PWG is another one which alternates. They have some really weird fucking names. I mean, just turn off. Too cute by half, as Wade Keller would say. But they also have some really good ideas and some creative people in that company doing some covers.
I like, 100 Ways to Kill You with a Pimento. I think
yes.
That's my favorite.
Or Keep the Pee Out of Our Pool.
Yep.
Oh, is that what that one was supposed to be?
Yes, keep no peas. Yes. Now, I'll tell you, as far as the Young Lions Cup, there's going to be – he's probably not going to win, but he's going to probably stay the whole weekend and have a very good showing. Fuck it, I'll let the word out. From San Diego, Leonino, the Lion. He has harassed Mike Quackenbush so much that Quack has finally put him in the Young Lions Cup. So I'm going to have to say that he's going to be the breakout star of that weekend. You can go to SoCalProWrestling.com, go to the video section, and there's a match with Leonino and SoCal Crazy from January up here in Oakland. Watch that match. It's really funny. It's the second time that the kid did the Leonino gimmick, and you know, we were working on stuff for him, you know, backstage before the show, and he's really gotten into the character. So keep your eyes out on him. He's gonna have a really good showing. He won't win, but he'll have a very good showing, just because he's really talented. I can't tell you guys who he is, because he works under a different gimmick as well. But, yeah, I need to keep that kind of quiet. But you can check him out at the SoCalProWrestling.com website in the video section. Another cheap plug for you, Jeff. See that? I'm showing you love, Jeff. Derek Bergen's showing you love. Man.
I love WrestleWarehouse.com, and I will plug that their wrestling mask at the end of time, and especially my favorite one, that the Rey Mysterio-like mask that looks like a San Diego Chargers official mask, and I think if they sold these in Qualcomm Stadium where the San Diego Chargers play, they would fucking sell thousands. It's just one of the coolest piece of wrestling merchandise I've ever seen.
I'm trying to convince Jeff Dino of actually doing that, going out to the parking lot on a football Sunday and sell them. He also has some with the Raiders colors, which are silver and blackout.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah, that might go over huge. Yeah.
Up here, well, I'm not going to step foot in Oakland. I'm not that dumb. Plus, I'm white, so. All right, let's see. We're
like Raiders, believe it or not.
You what?
I actually like the Raiders, believe it or not, even though I'm Pittsburgh.
Now, you know, up here in Northern California, you know, there's a debate, you know, who's the better team, the Raiders or the Niners. I say, you know what, no matter what, I am able to see my team on TV every week. My Niners are never blacked out because we sell out, unlike in Oakland. So I always win that argument. You know, it's all about the Niners and not the silver and blackout.
The Raiders really have a lot in common with WWE right now in terms of they had an owner who at one time was ahead of everyone. I mean, and Al Davis back in the day was one of the sharpest owners around. He really led the league into some progressive stuff. Same as Vince McMahon going national and really ideas that changed wrestling. But they've been so unchallenged for so long within their organization, they're now, you know, quote-unquote, fat and lazy. No one wants to tell them they're wrong, and they're making business decisions which are crushing preventing their companies from going to the next level. And it's a shame because there's no reason the Raiders can't be as competitive as the Chargers and the Denver Broncos in the West, and WWE should be getting sixes and sevens with ratings. There's plenty of wrestling fans out there who want to watch. They're just prevented by these horrible TV shows which are written solely for Vince McMahon's weird ego.
You know, Mr. Bergen, that's a very good point. Very good point. I have to agree with you on that one. Now, since we do have a guest on the line, Mr. Kilikev, I'm going to put the ball in your court for the next topic of discussion.
Okay.
What do you want to talk about, big boy?
Damn, there. I really don't have much to talk about tonight.
Okay, I own Fire Pro Wrestling. Do you own it, Derek?
No, I don't.
Okay, how about you, Rob?
Oh, I do.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, I know you do. Kilikev, do you own it?
Do they have that out for Nintendo NES?
I guess not. So, all right, well, Rob, tell me, who is your favorite in-game character?
Karellen. Easy.
Excuse me?
Alexander Karellen.
Oh, geez. Okay. Who is your favorite created character that you've created?
You're gonna regret asking that question in a second. I created Drago on there from Rocky IV, and that is instantly my favorite character ever that I've created.
Really?
So many friends have stolen that from me. They put him on there, yes.
Mine is, I have a couple. Myself, in actual wrestling gear, yes. I made my 9-year-old son where, you know, I made it the skinniest and smallest that you could make it, and he bites, he uses the fork, low blows, his finisher is the green Muda mist. So, you know, he's a little bastard, but, you know, he is my kid, so. I've also, you know, created friends of mine from San Diego. I've created all kinds of different guys. I mean, it depends on what mood I'm in. You know, today I was in a mood for WWF 94. You know, I was using Michaels and Razor and Diesel and Savage.
I love going to YouTube and typing in Fire Pro too, I think, and seeing all the mods people have made from the classic ECW, you know, WCW when Nash and Hall and all them did the NWO, And these people are ingenious in coming up with some of the most obscure guys and just nailing them perfectly. So, I mean, if they sold a Fire Pro that was completely tricked out with all these characters pre-made and shit, I think I'd immediately buy that and whatever system it could play on. But until then, I think I'll just watch these YouTube videos of smarter people with more time in their hands that can create some cool stuff.
What you do is you buy a memory card that's full from someone.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
but
then you can download all the wrestlers that were made. So.
Well, yeah, you can download. If you have a save device, you can download. I don't have a save device, so. But I must say, I am the most proud of my Super Dragon. It's spot on. And I have 5 Super Dragons in my game.
Have you seen any of these Super Dragon compilation DVDs from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, the Evolution series?
I have them.
I want the first one so bad. I really want to see Taro and Super Dragon in the mask match.
Oh, you want the first one? Let me see what I can do about that for you.
Oh, thank you. I've always wanted to see it. I saw highlights of it, and it looked like the greatest thing ever.
Brutal. It's really brutal. They just, murdered each other. It was really bad.
I saw Super Dragon once live in person. I think he's probably like one of the top stiffest workers I've ever seen. I mean, it was just flat out disgusting when he was like curb stomping El Generico and terrible. But
I mean, this guy is awesome. He has a charisma through a mask that 90% of wrestlers on the indie scene don't have, doing regular facials. And the fact that he was beaten up, can barely move almost during the Ring of Honor CZW feud, and still stood out in there just with his mannerisms to the crowd and in the rings and the interaction he had with Ring of Honor, just totally made that feud. And he's such a superstar in my book that he'll never get his due because of working out there pretty much exclusively.
Well, not anymore. He's basically retired. He's done. His body's done. He's so hurt, and he's put on so much weight. He can't, he can't work out. He's done.
Yep.
He's...
That's a shame.
He's done. So, but, you work that style. If you're going to be snug with someone, they're going to be snug right back. So,
you look back when the Battle of Los Angeles, 2006, whatever, him and Necro for Night, which stole Night 2. I mean, he has had so many memorable matches, which unfortunately very few people have seen, especially if they're only exposed to Ring of Honor. That's their only associated to indie wrestling, is Ring of Honor. They haven't seen this guy and until Chris Hero finally made his way to Ring of Honor and Necro Butcher. There's plenty of people out there who are having some really strong stuff or are really engaging matches, and they're just never going to be seen by a large audience.
Yeah, you can go to ProWrestlingGuerrilla.com in the merchandise section, and you click under compilations, and it doesn't look like they have any.
I think most of them are sold out. Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to get Evolution 4, and I reviewed that. I loved it, and I wanted to immediately get the other ones, and they were already sold out. This is years ago. And I'm like, damn!
Wasn't that Generico match in Germany brutal?
I just love when they do the Germany matches, and you have the whole different camera angles. It looks like a video game the way it's set up. The crowds over there are on the ring, literally on the ring. I don't know how these guys can do it. It's just fantastic.
SmartMarkVideo.com. You have to check out the WXW product. Okay, it's a German indie, where they bring in, rather larger names from the States, and they have some pretty good talent over there as well. And they don't dub it in English. It's in German commentary, and it's good shit. I have no idea, most people have no idea. I know speak some German since I'm Hungarian, but, I know some of it. But a lot of people have no idea what they're saying. But it doesn't matter. It's like Japanese wrestling. You get the feeling of the announcers. And it's really cool. Like Derek said, the fans are right up there on the ring. There aren't any barricades. They're right up on the ring.
It's something, you just don't see in American wrestling, kind of like when you're watching World Class back in the day. And before the match, people are in the ring giving their papers to get autographs. Like just a this hasn't happened since we've been fans because they've had guardrails and stuff. Mm-hmm. But and there's another one. Smart Mark does that Best of the Indie series, which combos shoot interviews with a Best of, and on their Claudio Castagnoli one, which is a great DVD. It has him and I think Matt Sydal in WXW, and it's just like, how the fuck are these guys having this type of match? And it's really small ring. Like I said, it's like a video game. It's just so fast and so weird.
I think it's I think it's 14x14, if I remember right.
It's insane. It makes TNA look like they're swimming in it, you know.
Speaking of the Best of the Indie set, I have the B-Boy one, I have the Eddie Kingston, and I have the Claudio.
You gotta get the Necro Butchers. That one is.
And I have the Necro Butcher.
Oh, you got that. You got it. That's that one.
And then I also have the Necro Butcher Early Years, which is insane from the stuff that when he first broke in Texas. Which
I know Big Vision just released Choose Death, their version of the Smart Mark release. So I don't know what's different or what's the same with the Smart Mark video, but I know it just was released by Big Vision Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a hell of a job with the Heroes of World Class when they got their hands on that. So if they applied that type of TLC to the Necro Butcher DVD, I can just imagine it's a must-buy.
All righty, welcome back to the show, Mr. Peter H.
Hey, sorry,
what happened,
there,
man?
Yeah, I got cut off.
Oh, okay. Cool. We're just talking about a bunch of indie DVDs and shit. So just
cool.
Talking a lot of crap. So we're taking it easy in the first hour.
Speaking of a lot of crap, any opinions on Kimbo Slice signing on the Ultimate Fighter?
That's I think it's a great idea, to be honest.
It's gonna make great TV. It's gonna get good ratings, but it's not fair because he's too quote unquote experienced. I feel.
Won't win anyway.
Have they announced the fighters yet, or?
Excuse me.
Like, have they announced the other fighters?
No, doesn't matter.
Hmm.
I think they're gonna have that Rex Richards guy who's from up here, Northern California, played in the Arena League for San Jose. I think Rex Richards made the cut. So that guy and Kimbo.
Yeah, heard that as well.
Rex Richards is a heavy hitter, so that's gonna be fun shit. But you know the what makes the next season going to be fun is that there's going to be all kinds of betting going on. How fast is Kimbo going to win?
How fast is Kimbo going to lose?
Or lose? You know, really? You know, we're going to have to do a pool, you know, on the figure four board. You know, who's going to win fast? Who's going to fucking beat him? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of potential.
Do they use his real name or do they use Kimbo Slice?
I don't know. What is it?
I'm thinking it might be trademarked, perhaps. I don't know.
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he would allow it.
It'd be stupid if they didn't use his real name. I mean, you know, the whole reason they got him was for his name. So, I mean, you know, if they don't use it, what's the point?
He's just some no-name, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and you know he's not coming cheap, so...
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah, but here's what I'm looking forward to. Now we actually get Kimbo working with real strike artists here. We get him working with real grapplers. Kimbo actually gets to train with people who know what the fuck they're doing. So I really want to see how high Kimbo can elevate his game now that he's put in an environment where he can actually do that.
That's a very
no more fucking around with Tank Abbott. And other bullshit like that. Now he actually gets real fighters to train with.
I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference, to be honest. You know, it could, but, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's done some kind of training otherwise, but I don't know. You know, sometimes you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Let's say, do you burn your first pick on him? Do you want him as part of your team, or do you want, you know, like, if you say you win the coin toss for the first pick, do you take Kimbo with the first pick automatically?
I don't think I would take Kimbo. You know, I don't think I would take him.
Rob, logic is out the fucking window, brother. Okay, it's Kimbo fucking Slice. Okay? Honestly, how can you not pick him? Okay, but, you know, Brian and Dave the other night on the Observer show, they were talking about the interaction between Rampage and Kimbo. That's going to be good stuff. Hopefully they're on the same
team. Oh, shit, that is.
You want ratings, brother. But, you know, what this really shows me is desperation as far as Dana and Spike TV is concerned. It's desperation.
Well, I don't understand that comment, because for someone like me who's not a UFC fan, really, not that big at all, I mean, I'll watch UFC 100, but this is the first time I'll ever watch a tough show, ever. So, I mean, if it's getting me, I'm not saying I'm representative of everyone, but I'm sure there's others like me now. And I think it's hard in 2009 to, just because he's been a professional. I mean, if you turn to American Idol, half these people in their top 12 had record deals already. I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, they're not stars to the mainstream America.
No, I'm saying that Dana and Spike are desperate because the ratings have been down the last few seasons. You understand? It's going to spike. And I don't know.
But, you know, I mean, it's just a smart idea, you know? I mean,
yeah, I totally agree.
I mean,
yeah, I'm not disagreeing that it's a good idea.
No, desperate is bringing in, like, pro wrestlers or something, you know, bringing in a Kurt Angle. You know, I don't think Pinky and Kimbo Slice is desperate. I think that's smart.
Yeah, I mean, I have to.
More than anything, though, it takes Kimbo Slice out of the hands of Strikeforce.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did. That was a shrewd move on Dana's part as well. No one can take him now. He is locked up.
But don't
that's
you
it.
Want competition, though? Or I mean, you don't want
doesn't
to be in town.
No,
He's a name. He's a property. He's a value. He's a number on a spreadsheet. If anything else, that is what Kimbo Slice is. If they do nothing more than just run him through this season and then use Kimbo's face and his reputation to shill the shit out of anything else UFC wants to do without putting him in a match, UFC will reap benefits from that.
Now, as far as talking about competition. UFC is completely different than, or mixed martial arts is completely different than pro wrestling. Okay, UFC does not need the competition because they have their own competition. It's a shoot, their own competition within the people that work for the company. Now, if there's this big star on the horizon or a big time college athlete wrestler coming out, they will go after that guy, and just it will continue to evolve. The sport will continue to grow, and it will cycle in and out people. Now, the thing is, UFC is their own competition because the guys are fighting for a prize, a real prize. It's not who can suck off Pat Patterson the best to get the belt. It's you don't see Joe Silva in the back of the locker room getting a blowjob, you know, for the next lightweight champion. It doesn't work that way.
That's true.
But I think, like, a Strike Force has shown that a Gina Carano cyborg fight, the people want that. And UFC, if there wasn't another company pushing stuff like this, Dana White would never even entertain the thought of that. And I think other companies and competition force UFC to evaluate what the fans want and not just Dana White, just like Vince McMahon. It's what he fucking wants these people to see. So I think competition is good for them, if only to show that. It gives the MMA fans more of a voice in terms of who gets brought into UFC, what direction UFC goes into, rather than just the Dana White and the Fortitos or whatever their names are. You know, it's not just their modus operandi. I think that the voice of the people is at least integrating itself into UFC, and that's why, you know, Kimbo Slice is another example.
Mm-hmm. Now,
all right,
now,
guys, I got to run, so you guys take care, okay?
All right, thanks for calling in, Pete.
Talk to you later.
Okay, is the show still going on? What the hell is that beeping?
I thought my phone got disconnected.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah?
Co-host Rob, Joshi Rob, I need you to take over. I'll be right back. I'm having a problem with my son. So you've got the office, brother.
Alrighty.
Oh, the baby monitor is going crazy.
Oh.
We have technical difficulties.
Now, did either of you guys happen to check out ECW last night?
Actually, I did not. I fell asleep just as soon as I got done with work. I woke up. It was 11:30. I'm like, suck, I missed ECW. I haven't bothered to download it, though.
Yeah, I wait to the weekend. I DVR it, and then I read the reactions to it. And if people give an overwhelming favorable response, you know, I'll fast forward to the things they said are worth watching.
Well, I missed it myself also. But one thing I noticed is that Tyson Kidd's new nickname. His new nickname is the Dynamite. Now, what do you guys miss with obvious British Bulldogs and Hardstone?
Oh. What is with the beeping sound? Is this some alien force trying to contact us through this show?
Wow.
I'm trying to think of what the fuck that reminds me of.
I'm thinking of some sci-fi, almost Jodie Foster in Contact, trying to decipher someone's trying to send us, maybe it's some wrestling promotion in the future, you know, trying to send us a code of how to book a show in 2009.
Okay, hey, I'm back, guys. I'm sorry. My son woke up. He had a nightmare, and he said that the nightmare was the Tony Atlas Evan Bourne match from the next ECW show.
Oh, God. There's no point in me watching ECW next week then. Lord.
I don't even watch it. So, ECW airs what, on Wednesdays?
Tuesdays.
At 10 o'clock. Or is it 9 now? They changed their time, right?
I was the...
No, it's 10. 9,
no,
10,
was,
10, 9, Tuesdays, Thursdays, what the fuck?
Who knows?
Hold
on. Didn't you guys get UHD, the Universal High Def channel? They replay Raw and, like, all these shows all the time now.
So how was the C.J. Wilson match from last night with Christian?
No one saw it.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
No one saw it.
None of us saw it.
Believe it
wasn't on? Or is that next week?
Yeah, that was last night, but none of us watched it.
Why?
I had to watch this goofy baseball game and interview players, so that explains me. These two, no excuse.
I believe I was doing an audio with Kid Zombie at the time it was on.
Okay, well, there you go. And Kevin?
I fell asleep after work, so I blew through it. I didn't even wake up until like 11:30 last night.
Wow, I guess I'll have to download the torrent and then upload the file for you fags to watch the match.
I would respect somebody that said they did watch it. I mean, if you have nothing in your life you can do, I'd rather be reading TV Guide, you know, than watch ECW live on a Tuesday night.
You don't have to torrent that stuff anymore because ECW is now available on Hulu.
What is that?
Hulu. It's a YouTube type site. It's like legal files, and you know it's actually authorized.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm lost. I mean, I can't even upload fucking YouTube videos. So,
I can't.
You don't even go on
Zombie has
Twitter,
touched
so this. Never. So that explains why that went over your head. So never mind. I'm sorry.
He's watched two RF video shoots, but hasn't heard of Hulu before. That's amazing.
Well, you know, hey. That's fucking old timers, brother, you know?
Oh, you can torrent, yeah. But you don't know what the fuck Hulu is.
No, I don't. You know? That's it, you know, I'm fucking old timer, brother. You know, I'm going to be 36 on Monday, and you know, I'm getting old. So I'm out of touch.
36? What? That's bullshit.
Yeah, I'm going to be 36. I was born June 8th, 1973.
You act like you're fucking 90. What the fuck?
Hey, I'm a bitter young man.
Somebody get this man his Geritol.
Shit, I'm just bitter, brother, you know? I'll tell you, I'd go nuts if it weren't for my DVD collection.
You getting the pacemaker blues over there, KZ?
The what now?
The pacemaker blues.
Shit.
Was the pacemaker beeping, like, extremely loud for a couple minutes ago? Did you take some pills?
That's what it was.
God, suckers. Fuck all
three. He's on meds.
All three of you, cocksuckers. Fuck you guys.
It's his heart monitor. Somebody call his nurse.
guys are horrible. You guys.
Hey,
are
you
horrible.
Brought it on yourself.
Yeah, we're
you
not
just
gonna
run
have
with
a,
it.
We're not gonna have a birthday bash this year. We had one last year on the air, but I'm not gonna do one this year. I don't know.
Well, good thing, because we'll have to call the fire department for all the fucking candles, won't we?
Oh, can't have an ice cream cake, right? Because it'll melt it all.
If we can bring a guest, I can bring D. Wolf.
I love him.
I have some connections, so trust me.
Hey, Bergen, you got to tell me, that's a gimmick poster. Who is it?
I don't know how long you've been around like a torch. He was Eugene on the torch board until that flamed out.
Really?
But he has a long history on the pro wrestling message board. So long and storied. It gets a lot deeper into. I'm sure you guys wouldn't want to know the miscellaneous stuff, but this is just the latest escapades.
Hey, that's cool. He can steal my heat all he wants. It's all gravy. But you know, I did not call into the Observer Radio today. But I will call in the next time they take calls, but I will announce myself, you know, as Matt from San Bruno. And that's fine with that. And then the fags on the floor can't say nothing.
They'll say something either way. That's why I don't know why you acquiescing to them is any sort of moral stance or whatever. They're going to bitch whatever you do. So
Now, tell me this. When I come on the air, does Brian, you know, seem like he's sighing, like, oh, fuck this guy again?
I don't think so. I never got that impression.
Okay, good. Because if you did, I'd have to cut him off from his Florida Championship Wrestling DVDs. Fucking asshole doesn't even send me postage, you cheap bastard.
Speaking of Florida Championship Wrestling, I believe in July I'm going to have a chance to attend one of their shows. Looking forward to that one. That should be fun.
Yeah, from what I hear, they're good shows live, and you know, people have a good time, and but you know, whatever, support your local indies. That's what I gotta say. So,
yep.
Kev, are there any big time indies near you?
No. Kentucky indie wrestling for the most part is shit. You've got Ohio Valley Wrestling, And they made their debut in Lexington, Kentucky last week, the second biggest city in the state, and I think they drew like 50 people.
Ooh. And then, Mr. Rob, there you have the IWC, Norm Connors.
We have a lot of indies. It's just, out of the ones I've seen, IWC is really the only worthwhile one for the most part. We have FNW, we have KSWA, we have PWX, we got...
PWX is pretty good. They've got a couple pretty good workers from PWX. Yeah, they're all right. How about you, Bergen? Are there any big indies near you?
I wouldn't say any of them are big whatsoever, you know, other than when Ring of Honor came down earlier this year. But, I mean, there's smaller ones here and there, but nothing of...
What, FIP? You check out FIP Live at all?
FIP's on the other side of the state, so it's like a four-hour drive. The state is insanely large.
Now, what part are you from, Kyle?
Kyle?
Derek. I'm sorry.
I'm down in Port St. Lucie, Florida, which is on the east coast of Florida, kind of like about an hour or 2 hours from Orlando.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to be hopping down to Orlando. So just trying to scope the wrestling scene, see what's going on down there.
Well, not much. And what's always odd is when I'm reading these old observers, or when I was growing up reading Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Florida was like a hotbed of wrestling. I can't believe that Kevin Sullivan and Dusty Rhodes, you know, booked this place beyond recognition. So that even 25 years later, you know, indies are having a hard time getting people to go to the shows.
Fail. Yep, that's it. Well, Kev, plug the site and the show tomorrow.
All right. Well, tomorrow night, angrymarks.com is the place to be. You can join us in the chat room at angrymarks.com/chat. You bitches should be in there tonight, but nobody showed up. I don't know what the hell is so important that you can't be in the chat room along with the show, but I can't say anything either because I'm no longer in the chat room myself.
Neither am
Zombie I. Zombie left me like 45 minutes ago, so, you know, it may be that kind of night. But listen tomorrow night to the Angry Marks podcast. You can listen to us at blogtalkradio.com/AngryMarks. It's going to be a great show. We're going tomorrow night. It's going to be pretty MMA heavy since we've got Strikeforce coming up Saturday night. We've got WEC on Sunday night, and also going Sunday night is going to be WWE's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. We're going to get in a little bit of discussion as that as well, but most of it is going to be about Strikeforce, since our own Stevie J is going to be there live at the show. He will be, if he's not covering the show live from Press Row, then he's going to be Twittering the action. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of great stuff to talk about. And then, as I said earlier in the show, we've got a big major announcement that's going to be changing the Angry Marks podcast network. And it's one of those things that I'm going to be really excited about. And it's not only going to be a great benefit to just the listeners, but all the shows from the Angry Marks podcast network, in my opinion, are going to greatly benefit from it.
Tremendous. Thanks for coming in and shooting the shit, Kev. I appreciate it, brother.
No problem.
All right, I will talk to you tomorrow night.
Am I the only one that doesn't know this Angry Mark surprise? Is it going to a premium site and we can have the privilege of paying for the shows?
It is still going to be free. Okay, I'll give you a small hint. We are adding a new show to the podcast lineup. We are going to have 6 days of shows on the site. Tuesday,
Zero.
Wednesday,
Woo.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 6 days in a
There it is. 6 days.
That you will ever get for free.
iTunes.
Somebody tell Stevie that I'm pretty sure that Monday is the biggest day of traffic on the Observer and the Torch site. I'm pretty sure, at least, if I remember right, over the last couple of years. So you may want to switch one of those days to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever. Well, it sounded like Monday was the one day there wasn't. That sounds like it should be the one day there is stuff.
Well, no, you can't, because everybody and their mother is, you know, watching Raw or something. So it's,
yeah, all of us on the staff are pretty well, you know, swamped on Monday. I myself am actually doing the WWE Raw recap on the site, and, you know, it's usually a pretty big, heavy news day, so we kind of decided... Yep. You know, as busy as it was, you know, we probably weren't going to draw that many people. Tuesday just kind of worked out better for everybody, so.
Okay, that's cool. Good luck, man.
All righty, Kev.
Thank you.
I will speak to you tomorrow evening, brother.
All right, I will see you next. I will see you tomorrow night, then.
All right, brother. Take care. Okay, that was Killer Kev. Oh boy, I'm getting blown up, and we still have another hour to go. Mr. Bergen. Plug the website that you work for.
We do the Torch Daily Blitz, which, unless you guys can correct me, I think is the only daily audio show, at least Monday through Friday. I love it. And we do reviews on DVDs, wrestling books, wrestling comic books. Me and R.D. Reynolds from WrestleCraft talked about the ice cream bars. Me and Keith Opinski recently talked One Night in China. I mean, every wrestling product under the sun gets discussed, and we have some great guests coming up. It's available at www.pwtorch.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Sign up. Pay your, what is it, $8 a month just for the old pro wrestling focus shows from 91, 92, 93 with Wade from Minnesota. I'm stuck on those, man. Those things are awesome. But, Mr. Bergen, thanks for coming on. It's always a pleasure to shoot the shit with you, brother.
We're going to dedicate today's show to our good friends over at Rovert.
That's it, brother. I'll talk to you later, brother.
Take care, dude. Bye-bye.
All right. Oh my God! All right, Rob, we're done with hour one. So, do you? Oh, I lost Rob as well. So we'll wait for Rob to come on, and we'll play a couple commercials.
Pro wrestling got you down? Need something to lift your spirits? Listen to the podcast at AngryMarks.com. If wrestling gets you all hot and bothered, we've got what you need. Visit AngryMarks.com or subscribe for free on iTunes. The AngryMarks.com podcast, where the marks get nothing but satisfaction.
Hi, guys. This is Gary, 57talk.com, and it's late night here in Scottsdale, Arizona. I just want to thank you. The support for these interviews, these shoot-style interviews, has just gone through the roof. I'm really pleased, I got to tell you. I won't tell you the story of how we got into this. I've been a fan for a long time, and I've wanted to do something along the lines of wrestling for a long, long time. Haven't really found a good opportunity, but the owners of the Gold Exchange opened it up for me and said that, you know, they'd like to have this type of programming, get a lot of people up on the site. So I took advantage of it, and it's just been amazing. I mean, people are listening to the shows. The guests are calling. I've got a lineup of 10, 12 guests, and it takes about an hour and a half to do the interviews, sometimes 2 hours. It takes me an hour to prepare, and then I got to edit it. So it's about a 3.5 hour, and then I like to review the program. It really is about a 4 hour adventure with each guest. And I still have to work during the day at the Gold Exchange, so it's a pretty busy schedule, but I'm enjoying it. And what I'd like you to do is do your best to promote 5757talk.com. Get the word out. And the reason I'd like you to do it is that if the support continues and gets even stronger, we will be able to do even more interviews. We'll be able to get more guests. Now, some guests, I got to be honest, have turned us down. They've wanted to be paid. For example, Bruno Sammartino, one of the first people I asked to do a show, through his representative, Chris Cruz, told me that Bruno has to be paid to do an interview. And I understand, I don't agree with that, but I understand it, and Bruno has the right to say that, which is fine. I think he'd be great in a forum like this where he could really talk to his fans. But my point is, the more people we get to listen, there's going to be more interest from the stars to appear right here at 57talk.com. And I'd like to see the day where you never have to pay for one of these shoot interviews again. Frankly, I think a lot of them are substandard. They don't mic up the wrestlers. A lot of times they use the camcorder microphone. The audio is terrible. The video is terrible. The questions have no rhyme or reason. And it can be done a better way, which is the way we're doing it right here. And it's not all me. I've got an entire production team. A lot of the people who listen to the shows email in questions, try and help us out with guests. It's a group effort. You can't do something like this by yourself. So do me the favor and do yourself the favor. Promote 57talk.com on any message board within reason that you can. Get the word out. Get us new listeners. And this way, you know, maybe someday Bruno will decide that he'd like to appear on our show, just as Bill Watts has, Johnny Powers, Buck Robley, Dory Funk, Bill Apter. And the list coming up is going to be fantastic. And I'm getting a little bit better with the interviewing, so I think the shows are going to become even more entertaining. You know, it takes a little bit of while to get into how to do these things and how to ask the question. I'm getting better, and I'm going to hopefully continue to get better. 5757talk.com. Guys, get the word out. The more people that come to the site, the better the chance of getting all the big names. They don't need the little bit of money they're paid for these shoot interviews on DVD. They don't need it. They can do the interviews for free. We can upload them for free. You guys can listen for free. That's the way. That's the future way. This
57gold.com. Go out of your way to listen to the Bill Watts interviews. They have a bunch of different other stuff that's just blow away awesome. Yeah, we just wrapped up hour one, and I would like to welcome to the show the number one contender to the NWA World Heavyweight title, who will be challenging the champion this Saturday, June 6th, in San Francisco at John O'Connell High School. We'll be challenging Blue Demon Jr. for the title, Mr. Old School Oliver John. Welcome to the show, Ollie. How you doing, brother?
Doing good, KZ. Doing good. How you doing?
Oh, brother, I'm salivating at the mouth. I see a title change for my birthday. My birthday is Monday, and I have the feeling that, Mr. John, you are going to give me one hell of a birthday gift on Saturday night.
Yeah, let's hope everything goes well the way I want it to go. That'd be nice. I'm starting to accumulate some belts, so the NWA World title would be look real nice in my trophy case.
Well, let's see. You have the NWA Heritage title. You have the Pro Wrestling Revolution title. And don't you have the APW Universal title as well?
I had that. I don't have it currently, though.
Okay.
But I'll get it back.
Okay.
I'll get it back. It's just a matter of time.
There you go. Who's the current title? Oh, that's Dillon Drake, right?
Dillon Drake, yeah. Dillon's had the belt for a couple of months now, I think.
Since December, the cage match, yeah?
Oh, it's been more than a couple of months. The time flies, man. Yeah, that was December at Christmas Chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually watched the YouTube video of your whole program with Dylan and ending up with the cage match, and I have to agree, it was one of the top feuds in 08, at least on an independent level. Good stuff. Let's talk about your opponent, Dylan. This kid's got, you know, he's got the look, he's got the charisma, he can, you know, grab the mic, he's really good in the ring. He's humble, too. He's a really nice guy. You know, you don't get too many guys that are genuinely nice. What are your feelings on Dylan?
Dylan's a good guy. So, I mean, like everything you said, I see him doing really good things if he stays focused and his frame, you know, his body kind of goes up and down a little bit. He's never in bad shape, don't get me wrong, but, mm-hmm. you know, with his frame, if he got really focused, that guy could be one hell of a babyface. And I know some promoters, most people see him as babyface, but a few promoters see him as a heel. So, you know, he could go either way, but I really see him as a babyface right now. Mm-hmm. And I think in time he could be really an arrogant heel in time as he develops and grows, you know what I mean? Once he knows, you know, works babyface long enough, and then he knows in time what he wants to get out of a babyface, mm-hmm. he'll be awesome. He'll be awesome. Especially how young, he's young, but not super
24.
Young. Green, you know, in terms of being in the business type of thing. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I see him more as a white meat babyface now, but when, you know, when he finally decides to, you know, turn to the dark side, it's going to really mean something. That loved.
He's one of those guys that just is so pretty. Like, mm-hmm. with some arrogance, you'd really hate him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's always well-dressed. When he's, every hit the shows, he's one of the most well-dressed guys, you know, back there. He carries himself really well. So, you know, and I agree with you, you know, all-American babyface. But not cheesy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is cool. So that's why he just got a natural thing about him. So as he develops, man, he's going to get better and better with this frame. As it fills out and with maturity, I mean, there's somebody who's marketable. So.
Mm-hmm. Now,
losing to Dylan wasn't a bad thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That program, it didn't hurt either one of you. It enhanced both of you, and that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea. In the end, that's what it's supposed to do, as opposed to, you know, burying someone. But, yeah.
Well, and that's, you know, the credit to John LaRocca,
mm-hmm.
as booker of APW. That's what he tries to do. That guy's a true student of the game, you know, like how we work, you know, as one of the boys working to wrestle, perfect the craft and doing all the studying tapes, keeping a journal, working on spots, finishes, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. That's how John works at being a booker and
mm-hmm.
matchmaking. And I mean, he studies it, man. He's
I'll tell you.
All those DVDs and just watches old stuff and follows the programs, and he's friends with certain guys in the business who are great bookers and gets to pick their brains. You know, he's earning the trust of some big names out there. So, you know, John can seriously do some things in terms of the writing end and move along and to bigger and better things. I really believe it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I first met John in 97, and, you know, we met at the Gym Wars. And then we would trade tapes, and, you know, he was smarter than a smart mark, if you know what I mean. You
mm-hmm.
know, where he actually, you know, we would sit down after shows and you know, sit with Roland and the boys, and, you know, we'd actually talk and bounce ideas off Roland, and, you know, from time to time he would use them, and he would just come up with just these ideas that, you know, that would blow me away. And then I would ask, hey, you know, for a reference point, you know, where'd you come up with that idea? Well, he said that he would say, you know, this certain show for Bill Watts, you know, kind of gave me that idea. And I'm like, dude, keep doing this shit. And, you know, obviously he's doing something really good with the APW product.
Mm-hmm. I see it's just a matter of, you know, staying at the younger guys need to learn this, because you know, it can be frustrating sometimes because of the pecking order and the hierarchy and all that, and, you know, dues paid and all that. But, you know, the opportunity came for him when, you know, Gabe Ramirez and Jason Dedrich, they split, you know, from APW to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. Well, he'd been there, and that was his opportunity to come in and bring his vision in, you know. So it's just, you know, keeping the trenches, you know, because everybody grows and moves on to different things, different pastures, and you know, John did it. John stuck around and stuck with it. Because, I mean, you know, we all go through those times where it's like, yeah, you know what, I need to do something else with my life or whatever. I just wrestling things not panning out, whatever. And, you know, people break from it, you know, too soon, where there's opportunities to really develop and grow and prove yourself. So John's a testament to it.
You know, John stuck with it. Gabe stuck with it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Gabe's doing some big things, you know, on the indie scene, and he's underestimated. That dude's drawing some numbers, you know. You know, we just had a show.
In Milpitas,
and, you know, as far as indies go, the draw was good, but they weren't pleased with it. They're used to a certain number and less than that, what most promoters would be happy with. They're like, oh, man, you know, because they're used to, you know, 1,000 or more. And their vision is to do more than that. So, you know, keep your eyes on Gabe because he's a guy who can do it.
That was the first show in the Milpitas market for Pro Wrestling Revolution. They drew 500-600 or so, which is great for a fucking indie. But
yeah.
Not for Gabe. Now,
his standard is different. His vision is bigger. He's hungry. And he and his wife work hard at it. I mean, that's what they do. It's not, you know, that's what he does. You know, it's gotten big enough that it's, you know, he's got to work with that. And he's even, I mean, man, I need to, you know, I need a staff. It's just, there's so much work to do. And the guy hustles hard. You know, say what you will about him, you know. He's tough. You know, he's tough. And he's demanding of what he wants and how he wants. And some guys, you know, don't mesh well with them on a personality level. But, you know, he knows what he wants. And he's pretty, you know, he's kind of like a little Bill Watts-ish. You know what I mean?
And
he'll tell you himself. And, you know, but he's got a vision. That's how he wants it. And he's particular. And, you know, like some of us, you know, in the indies as workers, I get a little bit of a big head, and I don't want to, you know, do that. Yeah, it's a job. Yeah, he's hiring you for a job. You come in. This is what his vision wants. When I go work at my, you know, for my employer, that's their vision. Hey, they're taking the risk. So if that's you work with it. You either do or you don't. You know, if you're not comfortable with it, then you know, you bounce. You say, we just couldn't come up with a, you know, an agreeable terms, and that's it. You know, no hard feelings. You know. No harm, no foul. But he's got a vision. He wants to take it a certain way, and you know, guys are willing to, and girls are willing to work with it. You know, he's willing to, you know, stick his neck out for you and push for you to go to bigger and better things. That's, you know, Gabe's really big on that. You know, so
now
Gabe, you know, hooking up with APW and Revolution have been really good because they've opened my eyes to kind of take the reins a little bit of my own destiny and promote myself and market myself, which was a big weakness for me. So it's really been
now,
good. It's opening doors for me. So.
Now, Gabe listens to the show. I know Gabe is listening right now. So I am going to give him constructive criticism, but Gabe knows where I'm coming from. I'm just being honest and telling him how I feel. Now, they took a big chance last weekend. They were running a show in a brand spanking new market for them. They went in with a higher payroll than I think they should have. I think they should have left off a couple of the bigger names, Super Crazy and EO Rey Mysterio. I would have went in with the minis, you know, and then put you on top for the title match. I wouldn't, you know, he took a hit. He took a hit, and, you know, he tried to pop the town, but I don't think you can do it on the first shot. But, you know, he's still learning. So, I mean, I'm not knocking the guy. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, and that's a decision where you're not necessarily right or wrong on it because he's done that in other towns and said, you know, I'm going full barrels, both barrels loaded, and it pays off for him. So, you know, you win some, and, well, he was some there too. I think the show went fine, and you know, the draw was good in comparison to others, but you know, not quite to what he likes to do at his standard. But you know, he's learning things, and we're all learning things. And I think it was the show went well. We were pleased with it, so we would all like to see more numbers. We've gotten used to them, you know. We've just gotten used to it. But it's sometimes you take those lumps, you learn from them, and they callous you a little bit too. They keep you ground, keep you humble, keep you hungry. I think it's definitely hasn't. It didn't discourage any of us. It fired us up to work harder for the next shows. And San Francisco is going to be a hell of a show. And
oh yeah.
There's some big things brewing with Revolution and some more dates, so I think good things are to come. So it's a minor hiccup at worst, you know.
Well, like I said, with me and Gabe, it's constructive criticism. I hold no allegiance to anyone except for the boys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got my first year. I had a local wrestling company up here as a sponsor. And for a year, and it caused a problem. And I learned my lesson not to have any companies as my sponsor. I am impartial. I will have anybody on the air. I'll have any owner on the air. I don't care. I will plug your shit. I'll plug anybody. It's all about this territory up here. It's all about the scene in Northern California. That's what it's about as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the more the boys get to work, you know, the bigger steak they can eat after.
Well, and that's true. And also, the more people who are doing it and learning, you know, there's going to be a lot of crap, but there's a lot better chance that somebody, some of the more skilled ones, are going to figure it out and build things bigger to where there doesn't have to be I'm all for having more and more promoters and all that stuff and options, but you want some cream to rise from the crop, you know what I mean? And you want the cream of the crop and a few to really get successful to where there's better money, and they're figuring it out. The hot ones that could do to replicate it in another town and another town to where, you know, hell, it's pretty much, you know, a little territory. That would be, you know, that's the goal for all the indie promoters. But I think we're getting some better talent. I think I'm starting to really figure out storytelling. I think the promoters are starting to figure out more storytelling. So it's not just a bunch of, each match is trying to become the, you know, five-star classic match where you see everything. Mm-hmm. It's more the shows are being booked to have a certain theme, and one match isn't trying, you know, the early matches aren't trying to get over bigger than the main event and the semi. You know, those type of things.
It's not ROH from 2002, I'll tell you that. It's not a fucking all-star show.
Shit's
paced properly.
Yeah, you know, because...
No, really.
A show should be like a match, you know. It's going to have its high spots, it's going to have its settle downs, you know. And then you crescendo at the end, you know. You don't want to blow the water early. I mean, it could be a hell of a show, man. They see everything that one show. Well... You got to come back and top it. You can only top it so much. And, you know, in the old days, you knew when you had a blow-off that when you came back, you're going to have to, you know, the old Roy Shire thing. You know, by the time they did that Battle Royal deal, the big old, you know, deal, that the big blow-off, you know, they knew if they had the big show, it was going to be, you know.
Every January.
Build it back
that
up.
Was it.
Build it back up to the peak. Then the house could be down. Build it back up. Build it back up. So on and so forth. Then you can keep the territory hot for a longer time.
There it is. Now, as far as let's get back to Gabe. As far as his promoting style, you can like you said, I do see some Watts influence. I do see a lot of Roland as well. Roland is a hell of a teacher.
Oh yeah,
he's a hell of a teacher. You know,
Roland's been around it for a long, long time, and you know he says it, and he passes this on to his students over there. You know, be a sponge. You know, soak up everything. Be a student of the game. And Roland, you know, Roland is, and still to this day is. You know, so even though he's not a guy who was in there doing it, he's still there's still knowledge there. He saw the stuff that we hear about. You know, and he was in the thick of it back then. So, and that's what he passed on, and it's good. It's APW guys, when you train at APW, you're going to be solid, you know, and they're big on the, you know, Roland says it about the fundamentals. He's big on the fundamentals, you know. you want that solid, solid foundation. And then from there, if you've got a solid foundation, then you can build upon that. If you don't have a solid foundation, there's going to be big holes in your stuff. So.
Well, yeah, Roland just doesn't have the instructors teach them how to take bumps, you know, how to do holds and whatnot. He teaches the business. He teaches locker room etiquette. He teaches how to be a professional when you're around fans, how to carry yourself. And I give him credit because a lot of these stooges that open up schools, you know, they take kids' money, they train them for a month, and they send them out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke. They're not teaching anybody. They're not passing on knowledge. And, you know, it's a shame. We don't have much of that out here. I'm not going to bury anybody, but there's not much of it out here. The people that do train here do things properly. I notice it in the East Coast. A lot of East Coast guys, some of these guys have no clue. You know, they figure they can go on high spots and, you know, order their kick pads and their, you know, little pleather pants and their workers. No. No. I mean, you know, when I was doing the shoot interview with Michael Modest, you know, he said that it takes a good 10 years to become a worker.
Oh, yeah. Easy. It was sooner. It was sooner in the old days. You know, you could, you know, like Ricky Steamboat talks, you know, his first year, he had 300-something-odd matches his first year.
Yeah.
Getting led by a guy who's been in the business for 20, you know. So it's different. The learning curve takes a lot longer now. Because, for one, we're in a wrestling school. You don't learn the interaction. You learn, you know, moves. You know, you learn and you brainstorm. That's why all the moves got so creative. One, the guys got smaller. Two, you know, you weren't working in front of people, so you just come up with stuff. You're not really testing. And then it's like, boom, just throw all the stuff out there. And there's nobody old saying, hey, cut that stuff down because I'm old and I'm going to take a 2-foot backdrop and that's going to be my big move. So you can't do that stuff. You know, there was a different quality control. Like when my trainer came in, he saw a guy, God, I forgot the guy's name, but this dude in Detroit, and the smaller, there was the big one with the Sheik's company, and then there was another one, and that's what Paul DeMarco was with, and there was this dude who took the biggest bumps and backflips. He took unbelievable bumps. He'd try to break the ref. The ref owned the ring, and he'd break the ring all the time. That was his goal. And he took these big, huge bumps. So when Paul went to, he copied this dude. And when he went down to, I forgot where it was. It might have been Georgia. And he's taking these big, huge bumps. He's like, I'm just going to outwork these dudes, you know, and outdo them. Well, the guys in the main events were old, like Bronco Lubitsch and these other dudes taking 3-4-foot backdrops. And they just went to Leo Garvone and squash him. Squash him. He's doing too much stuff. So he kept doing jobs for like a couple of years or something. And then finally someone pulled him aside, you know, and the opportunity, someone left and hipped him to what, I think it was Garibaldi, hipped him to what they wanted and switched it and did an angle with Johnny Valentine. And then that's when he got his break. But, you know, there isn't that there now, you know, in these indie shows. It's you're booked with you. Okay, go figure out your stuff. You know, you're over, he's under, you know, and then they can do whatever they want. There's nobody there saying, look, you're not going to do this. Of course, back then you had your life, they paid your bills, you know. If you didn't do what they wanted, you get fired. Well, now there's, you know, not a whole lot of money in the indie scene, so it's like, well, see, I'll just go to the other indie that's not getting money. So, you know, there's not as much leverage for the promoters, you know, either, so or the bookers. So. That's where this, you know, topping yourself, no sell, you know, spot fest came from.
Now you've worked for many companies. You've been in many different locker rooms. You've worked for many different owners and bookers. Now I want you to be brutally honest with me, okay? Out of all the guys that you have worked with, you know, in the back, who, in your honest opinion, is the best finish man that's ever given you a finish? And what was it?
Give me a finish. Who do you think? Mine are really simple, but, you know, somebody I'm really leaning toward in terms of the booker, in the booking, I don't know if it's giving the best finish, but I think the guy that has the most potential in time is John LaRocca. I think you should keep your eyes on him in terms of a booker. The guy keeps things simple. and it flows. Gabe's really good in terms of promoting me and giving me some good finishes to Revolution. I think the finishes have gotten a lot better with Revolution, too. And he's got some ideas and some tricks up his sleeve, which is pretty cool. And he's got Tom Caster working with him, too, and Rick Luxury is working with him on a creative level. So you're getting that group together, and it's pulling some stuff together that are really good. Because Rick is really an amazing. He was just, I think he was just on your show not too long ago, was it? Last week.
Ricky was on last week, and you know what, that man,
keep your eye on him as his body's coming together. That's the no one. Rick, if you're listening, for God's sake, man, your work is unbelievable. Get your body together. That's the ingredient that he's missing
that's what he mentioned.
Get some bigger opportunities.
That's what Ricky mentioned, that it was for him and MPT. That's it. It's the body. They have everything
it's
else.
The body.
That's it.
Their work rate is so good. MPT is, I mean, he's, I started working with MPT a few years back. Schizo was training him, and I came back and I was looking for somebody to train with, so I called an old buddy of mine who they called Mark, and he called Zach, because Zach had a school up there, and so I was traveling up there, and I was exclusively working with MPT, and MPT was at the point where that guy could do some stuff, but he needed to settle it down and slow it down. And so, and with Zach, it's just ridiculous because he's so natural. I could tell him, and I'll know it, and then I'll teach it, and then I won't do it in the match. I could tell Zach, he'll remember it and do it, and that's it. You can tell him once, and he's so natural at it. He's just incredible. The dude, incredible athletically. He can do pretty much anything, and he's smart. He knows how to think about the why and put emotion into everything. He's really become polished. And Rick is the same way. Rick, a few years back, because we started, I think I met Rick in SPW and Iron. And Rick could just come up with some really creative stuff, but there was a lot more stuff than he needed to do. He simplified his stuff, and he narrows it down to, you know, 2 to 3 themes, like one main theme, and there's a couple sub-themes in a match. So you take this one creative thing, and that becomes the whole match. That's the difference. Rick's work has gotten so polished. And his body's come together. It's made a big difference. But, man, if that guy got, you know, the bodies of both of them, and that's improved his body quite a bit, too. But they need to keep working and get serious about it. And it takes time, you know. I mean, for me, I was a couple years ago at Cauliflower. I was, like, 240. But I saw, you know, pictures of the match of me and Go Shiozaki. I didn't have the look. I felt 240. I was strong as an ox, but I didn't look 240. Just the illusion. My waist was too big. My ass was too big. So I started dieting. Now I did it slowly, and now I'm down like 195, but I don't look 195. But
well,
I did it over.
See, what was it? Was it last July when we broke bread after the big time show? You were what, about 2 1/4 then? You know,
yeah,
when you were there.
That was right after Go or right before Go.
Right.
And that's when I decided that, okay, I'm bulky, but I'm not looking what my weight is. I need to cut down. And I just said, hey, I'm going to wait till I got veins out of my legs, and whatever my weight is, that's my weight. And I'm going to do it slow. I'm going to take my time, because in the past I've cut down too fast, and I lost tons of muscle with it. So now I haven't lost a ton of muscle. I probably lost a little bit. But now I'm down to pretty much as lean as I'm going to get, and now I've just switched my train to where I'm starting to lift more weights, and I want to put on muscle slowly but surely and have it just be all muscle and but, you know, 5 pounds will look like 10 pounds, basically.
Yeah, I was shocked. You know, I was sitting there, I ordered my ribs, and you were looking at the menu, and you had out your little Weight Watchers point system there. I was like, dude, but hey, you know, the shit works.
Yeah,
I
eat whatever I want. It's not some special diet. I eat whatever I want, but I eat small and I eat often. I can eat whatever I like. If it's high calorie, eat less of it. If it's low calorie, eat more of it, you know. It's pretty sensible, and I just don't eat till I'm full. If I'm hungry an hour later, then I can eat again. If it's 2 hours, it's 2 hours, you know. I just never eat till I'm – I don't ever stuff my face. I don't ever stuff my face. And now that I've switched my training to where I'm lifting heavier, I am hungrier, so I eat more often. But it's the same premise. I don't eat till I'm full.
See, Oliver, we're going to take a quick break. I got to play a commercial, so we'll be back in just a minute.
Sounds good.
Pro wrestling got you down? Need something to lift your spirits? Listen to the podcast at angrymarks.com. If wrestling gets you all hot and bothered, we've got what you need. Visit angrymarks.com or subscribe for free on iTunes. The angrymarks.com podcast, where the marks get nothing but satisfaction.
Actually, Oliver, I can't tell a lie. I had to play the commercial so I can grind my coffee beans.
Nice work.
That's a shoot, brother.
Man, you got to get it. You need the liquid energy, man.
That's it. That's
I'm
it.
I'm an Americano junkie, so I drink those things all day.
Oh, dude, I love Americanos as well. They're awesome. Well, let's get down to business before Gabe texts me and gets angry. So, let's run down the show. It's this Saturday at John O'Connell High School, San Francisco. www.prowrestling-revolution.com. We're going to start at the bottom. Now, you worked against Mr. Wrestling 4 last week, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Wrestling 4 will be in the opening contest against Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury. This match has the potential to steal the show.
Absolutely.
Rick is Rick. Okay, that's all I have to say. And I'll tell you, Mr. Wrestling 4 has impressed me. He's been watching his Mid-South tapes. He's been watching his Georgia tapes. He has Mr. Wrestling 2's knee lift down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just amazing. This match could possibly steal the show. I honestly don't think so because, you know, you holding up that big gold belt's going to do it for me. But what do you think of these two guys in this match, and do you think that they're going to bring it?
Well, I've seen them in the past, and Rick and Four. There's just a certain, you know, there's certain matchups where the styles mesh. They just gel right. There's just something special about it. And everybody who comes out, I mean, make sure you get there early because this is a match that you don't want to miss. I saw them. We had that was super crazy the Friday before the Milpitas show. Because he's scouting talent from Mexico, and they locked horns in there just in a workout setting, and incredible the stuff that I saw out of them, and I just it was amazing to watch them. I mean, they weren't long matches, mind you, but they just gel, and that was just a small taste. That's not in front of an audience that they're feeding off of, and all that. It's going to be crazy. Those guys are going to have such a solid, old school with Rick there. It's going to be creative. And Mr. Wrestling 4 really is gelling. You know, it's big time, and 4 loves it. He loves working that old southern style, and you add a couple of years of doing it, and it's everything, all the work and all the effort and all the study, it's coming. He's starting to really, really, really gel beyond what he already does before because he's already an incredible talent. There's a maturity to it and a polish to it that's getting ridiculous. And then you add that to Rick really coming into his own now, and his polish is incredible. So the two of them, it's going to be on. I hate to say that they could steal the show, but, yes, they could very well steal the show. Because I'm going to be busy stealing the NWA World title from Blue Demon.
Hey, if you need a chair, brother, just ask. We're going to get the belt off that dirty Mexican.
You know, the thing is with Demon, he's been coming around, into the NWA. And I won't take anything from Blue Demon Jr. The guy is a class act. He's got the experience. At his age, the type of shape he is in is incredible. He's worthy of being the world's heavyweight champion. However, he's not worthy over me being the NWA World's Champion, you understand? I'm hungrier than Blue Demon. I'm younger than Blue Demon. I'm in better shape than Blue Demon. I'm stronger than Blue Demon. He might have an edge and experience, but that doesn't matter. Blue Demon, get ready right now as your knees are shaking and your legs are weak, and you're sweating bullets under that blue mask of yours. I don't know what you have to hide, my man, get ready for this. You're going to lose that NWA's world title come this weekend at John O'Connell High School, 7 p.m. Everybody, don't miss it. You got to get there early. Like I said, you don't want to miss Rick Luxury and Mr. Wrestling 4 and the rest of the card. It's back from top to bottom. It could be our best show yet. So
they haven't even announced everything.
You don't want to miss history in the making. At it. I'm right now known in Mexico as the double champion. I'm going to be the triple champion come this week. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to be the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Mark my words on it.
And the next match on the card, it's a tag team special attraction. We have the Polyester Express, which I think is Matt Carlos, and I don't remember the other kid.
And
a couple young guys.
Yeah, they're both APW.
Yes.
Students. Mm-hmm. They're products from APW, so you know they're solid. They're solid, up and coming. They're hungry and they want more exposure. But they're going to be in there with Derek Sanders and Zach Reeb, a.k.a. MPP. Now, there's no way, you know, you got two hungry kids out there, and they want to show what they can do, but there ain't no way they're going to beat the Border Patrol. They're going to give them a big run. They're going to push the Border Patrol, but the Border Patrol always comes out on top. That's why we're the best in the NWA. That's why we're the biggest talk on NWA Wrestling Showcase. That's why when we're not at the shows, that we were unable to make. Actually, we were blocked. They didn't even want us on the show because everybody's afraid of us. Out in South Dakota, the people were talking about the Border Patrol. Every time we popped up on the screen, the place erupted. Border Patrol signs. Everybody wanted to know. Everybody wanted to buy Border Patrol T-shirts. They didn't have them there. They're just scared of the Border Patrol. We're taking over the entire NWA. And they're going to knock down the Polyester Express, and they're going to win those. They're going to win those NWA Revolution titles come June 26th in Santa Maria.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll tell you, I'm going to shoot. I'm going to be honest. I have never liked Nathan Rules. I met him in '97 as well when he started training. The guy's a goof. Now MPT Zach Reeb is a definite upgrade. Now the Border Patrol, as far as a tandem and a trio, is solid. There are no chinks in that armor anymore. Keep your eyes out for the Border Patrol. That's all I've got to say. And if you're Mexican, watch your back. That's all I'm saying. Next up, where
it doesn't matter. It's fine. If you're here legally, we have no problems with legal immigration. It doesn't matter if you're Canadian. It doesn't matter if you're Mexican. It doesn't matter if you're Argentinian. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Japanese, Hmong. We don't care. If you're here illegally and you're sitting off the system and you're taking jobs from right-thinking good Americans, citizens, or legal immigrants, we have no problem with you. But you best bring your ID and show our identification, because if you don't have it, we're shipping you out.
Ah, true business. So the next match, we have the Minis. Pacino, P. Roth taking on Octagon Cito. Octagon Cito is just insane. Just fun stuff there. What more can I say? I mean, they're the Minis from CMLL, or AAA, excuse me. What more can I say about those guys? Now, I'll tell you, there's one thing that is missing from the Border Patrol stable, and that's a Mini.
We had one, but we had the Puerto Rican contingent. He was the giant Mini. He was a big. I mean, he could go either way. He could either be a light, a cruiserweight. He was at that border, a cruiserweight, or he was the most powerful Mini. But his services were needed back in Puerto Rico. So, but we might bring him back out in the woodwork come soon, because Octagon Cito is. It's somebody I'm not too sure if his papers are good, if you know what I mean. I've seen him
have to check that out, brother.
I've been on tour with him, and I've never seen somebody, a human, eat so much food in one sitting. It's insane. And so I know that if he comes over here and his papers aren't good, I'm telling you what, I'm a fan of buffets, Chinese buffets. He would eat me under the table. There's no way I could. We'll ship him out before he takes my Egg Foo Young and my General Chicken from me. Understand? So, so Akronocito, get ready, because we got somebody in the woodworks for you, my man. You can run, you can hide, you can eat everybody's food, but you ain't going to eat it for long, boy. We're going to send you back packing.
You know, I would love to see you guys bring back your mini buddy and have an 8-man mixed match with the three of you, Border Patrol, and the mini Border Patrol, against probably the Mysterios and Octagoncito and some other, you know, no-name idiot from the Mission District. I think that would be pretty fun. Now let's we're gonna shoot up to the semi-main event. We have Vaquero Fantasma, which is, I think he's like a cousin to the original Fantasma, if I remember right. Anarchia, who I don't know, and Blackfish, the former Fishman Jr. You know, he decided to go to the dark side, which is good for him. They'll be taking on the returning Io de Rey Mysterio, Ulysses, who is an amazing talent. He also goes as the Golden Lion for the NWA Showcase down south, and Elemente, who's another pretty good talent. So this is going to be your basic 30-minute lucha match. So, you know, I can Oliver, I'll bet you $20 that the Mexican wins.
I like it. You love the sure bet. That's what I like about you, man.
Hey, brother, I'm in the Border Patrol corner. So
I appreciate it.
And the main event for the NWA World Heavyweight title, you're going to be taking on Blue Demon Jr. Whether you win, lose, draw, this match has got Match of the Year written all over it, just because on paper the two of you are both great athletes. I've seen Blue Demon, you know, I've been following Blue Demon for, you know, good 15 so years, you know, and I've been following you as well. Like I said, I mean, you know, to be honest, neither you or Demon will be the winners of this match. Us, the fans in attendance, will be the winners of that match, because will be entertained. Just because of the talents that you both have, and it's just going to be a damn good match. You know, no matter who wins, loses, you know, whatever, it's still going to be a hell of a match. Let's talk about your opinions on Blue Demon as a worker, because you've seen him, you've worked with him before, you've been on shows with him before, you've been at the NWA tapings with him before. What do you think of Demon as an in-ring talent?
In-ring talent, and this is really getting to work with somebody who's got the experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible. It's just different than working somebody who's young. And sometimes we get a little too excited, you know, and do too much. He's a classy worker. You're kind of like, you know, how Barry Windham in his prime, where everything, he just makes everything look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fluid, and it's pretty, it's safe. But physical, that's what's good about him. You know, he wants a physical match. He doesn't want you going in there and taking the night off. He's a class act. He's a class act when he comes, you know, dealing with all the other talent. He's a professional, you know, and that's it's an honor to get to wrestle him. So, and
I enjoy him.
Demon Jr., when you're done, you're a better worker than when you came into the ring.
I have
There's
to agree.
No doubt about it. And that's in
now,
getting those opportunities to work with veterans like that who have been in the business for years and years is awesome, because that's who you learn from. It's great, because it's really kind of how everybody got to do it, you know, pre the end of the territories type of thing, you know, and then when the indies kind of came along, indies are a lot of guys with the same experience level trying to figure it out. Well, this is getting to go in there and go in there with the teacher, you know, and getting to be the pupil, you know, and coming out and being better than you were when you stepped in. It's awesome, and it's an awesome opportunity for me. And I thank Dave Ramirez and Pro Wrestling Revolution and the NWA to give me this position where I can go and I can improve and learn. So I'm really fortunate to be in the position I'm in right now.
Now, Demon, he's not a quote-unquote high flyer. He's more ground-based, but he can fly when needed. I can't even get close to comparing him in the ring to Blue Panther, because Blue Panther is just on a whole different planet. But he's more along that style, kind of an old-school hold-for-hold, can fly when needed, can keep up with pretty much anybody. I've seen, you know, Demon do his thing with the young Flippy Flyers. I've seen him, you know, get in there with Dos Caras, you know, with the older guys, and then, you know, grind out 3 minutes. So he can adapt to pretty much any style.
He's flexible.
Same as you.
And that's the thing about him. He's flexible, man. He can work with anybody. You know,
that's why
he can work. And that's what, you know, that's the thing. You know, to have a lucha guy come up, and he can work American. You know, he can work any style. He's got incredible amounts of experience. He's nothing but a pleasure to work with. And he's awesome. He's absolutely awesome. But not so awesome that he's going to hold on to that NWA World title. I'm going to take it from him. No. I mean, it's, you know, it's out with the old, in with the new, and that's all fine that he's got that experience, and I'm in a great position where I can learn from him, and I'm thankful for that. But there's just no way. I'm younger, I'm hungrier, and this is a young man's game. And I'm heading into my prime. I hate to say it, but I think that you may find out that Blue Demon might just be past his prime. He might be on his, you know, he's in the Masters League, and that's what I think. He's tough. He's still got it. He's got experience, but I've got some youth and some I got some tricks up my sleeve. I know he's got tricks too, but you know what? I've been around a long time too. I've seen a lot of those, so I'm not really concerned with it.
Now I'm gonna go, you know, along the kayfabe line here. It's a shame that the NWA Showcase is not on a bigger stage, because since the relaunch, the story has been you and the Border Patrol chasing Blue Demon, and it's progressed, because I've watched the TVs, you know, and it's progressed, you know, and this match honestly could do 10,000 in Mexico. Honestly, or even, you know, 5,000 in a smaller arena out here, if there were, you know, a larger TV presence, because if things were built properly, and I give the powers that be for the NWA all the props in the world, because, you know, be honest, Ollie, the way you come off on the TV, brother, you know, it's a big deal when you're on the screen. You're a fucking star, and it shines through the TV, and it's just a shame that more people aren't seeing it. I'm a fucking mark, man. You know, they sold me. You know, I'm fucking ready for you to win the title on Saturday, because the TV told me so. You know, and it's just a shame that more people don't see it.
It's getting closer, though. You know, I'll tell you, and that's the tenacity of Dave Marquez, because, you know, he's been working at this for 10 years, you know, getting to this point and taking his lumps and bumps and on that learning curve, like we were talking about earlier. You know, it's the guys who do this, it's, you know, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And, you know, for me, I'm no spring chicken myself, but I never quit. Not entirely. I may have taken breaks or wondering, oh, should I do it? But I always end up reevaluating, what do I need to do? And to this day, I routinely reset my goals and see where it goes, and set goals and then reevaluate in 3 months. Okay, this worked, this didn't. I need to work on this and try to be honest with myself. And, you know, guys like Gabe and Dave Marquez, you know, they're doing that too. And so, you know, Dave's tried to launch things on more than one occasion, you know, and they gotten some going, and then it didn't quite work out the way they wanted, you know, and they keep getting closer to the prize. So just keep looking for them. You know, all these guys who are working at it and not quitting, you know what I mean? They might take their lumps and bumps, but they learn from it and say, you know what, how can I come back and hit this in another angle and see how this is going to work? There's just some tenacious people who are not quitting. They're not quitters, and they've got a vision for something bigger than what most indie guys, you know, are going for. So, yeah, you preach to the choir. We'd like to see it on a bigger stage, but, you know, they're inching closer and closer to it, and they keep learning from mistakes made and keep improving the product. As long as you improve, and, you know, it's never perfect, but if you make the goal that, hey, no matter what, I'm going to improve. It doesn't have to be perfect. I just got to keep showing up, man. Just keep showing up. And it's a roller coaster ride, but it's a hell of a ride. You know, the valleys suck, but the peaks are wonderful. So as long as you will keep willing to keep doing it, you're going to keep, you know, getting closer to the day. Everybody's going to have their day to shine eventually if you don't quit. So,
well, I guess that's on that note. Let's wrap it up. Champ, how could people contact you if they want to book you or send you hate mail?
Either way, you can contact me via my MySpace or probably Facebook is the best. If you just look for Oliver John or Old School Oliver John. I don't have the actual address. I mean, I think I did this last time. I didn't have the actual address.
Just type it in.
And
or you're in my top 20.
OliverJohn.com. Oliver-John.com, and it'll take you to my MySpace.
Tremendous. All right, champ. Hopefully
yeah,
you're
like
ready
that.
For
like
Saturday, brother.
Demon, you get used to that, too, because pretty soon you're going to be nothing but the former champ, and you're going to be back to me paying homage to the true king of the NWA. That's Oliver John, and don't forget it.
I have a nice bottle of champagne chilling in my fridge, ready for us to pop open in the locker room when all is said and done. So, brother, I will see you come Saturday, and good luck. You know what? The hell with it. You don't need luck. You're good.
I don't need it. Demon needs luck because that's all he's got. That's the only prayer he's got is Lady Luck on his side to hold on that NWA title. But he's not going to hold on to it. His back's going to be on the mat. He's going to be staring at the lights, not knowing what hit him. But Blue Demon Jr., guess what hit you? Border Patrol, Oliver John, shipping you back to Mexico. Not a champion, nothing but a chump. I'm your NWA World's Champion. Don't forget it. Everybody be there. John O'Connell High School, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6, and the address is 2355 Folsom Street, San Francisco, California. And you can get your tickets pre-sale at www.prowrestlingrevolution.com.
That's it. You did the hard plug for me. Awesome, champ. Thanks for coming on. It's always a pleasure to shoot the shit with you, brother. And I will talk to you on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, brother. Take care.
Right. Good night.
Okay, that was Old School Oliver John, the next NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Oliver's getting his title shot, another rematch with Blue Demon Jr. This Saturday night. ProWrestling-Revolution.com. Come out. Say hi to me. I'll be out there. You'll notice me. I'll be the idiot yelling for the Border Patrol. So come on out. Let's throw out the plugs. WrestleWarehouse.com. You can get Lucha Libre masks, T-shirts, a bunch of DVDs. Just check out the site and tell Jeff Dino that Zombie from Rebel Guard Radio sent you. Also, you can check out our other sponsor, which would be SlamBamJam.com. Lucha Libre DVDs, Japanese DVDs, classic, new stuff, best ofs. Alfredo's got a great selection of stuff. So when you place your order in the little comment section, tell Alfredo that Zombie from Rebel Guard Radio sent you. Also, props to the mothership, AngryMarks.com. Check out the AngryMarks.com podcast tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific. I will be on the air sometime tomorrow. You get info about that at AngryMarks.com. Hit me up on the MySpace gimmick, MySpace.com/RebelGuardRadio, or you can email me directly, KIDZOMBIE2000@AOL.com, and we will be back next week.